Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Take it to the limit. One of my all-time favorite Eagles songs. Of course, I think they're all my all-time favorites, Kyle.
Yeah, well, like, they're only the number one selling band of all time, so...
Yeah, but, you know, and that's probably because I bought all their albums.
Yeah, they love Terry Wickstrom's money.
Yeah. Hey, we did have a winner on the trivia. It was Scott from Loveland, and our television show has aired for 22 seasons. 22 seasons on television, and Scott from Loveland won the trivia question. Let's go right to the phones, and joining us, Chad LaChance, you were the answer to a trivia question once about the radio show.
Oh, yeah, let me guess. First fill-in host.
That's right. You were the first fill-in host. We used that question a while back, but you were the very first person that did the show when I was out of town and didn't. We used to try to do it live, then we'd pre-record it if I had to go out of town to film. And I never felt the show was right when it was a few days after, because we talk about such current activities. And then so you came on as the first co-host, and you still do occasionally. So it's been great. That way we get really up-to-date information from people. And speaking of information, I think you want to talk to us about fishing.
Yeah, but first I want to make you feel old, Terry. So just for the record, we are filming for our 24th season of Fishbowl Thinker right now. So, yeah, how about that? But, yes, fishing, high country stuff. You know, at this time of year, it's kind of dog daisy of summer. The reservoirs are still fairly busy and whatever. It's an excellent time of year to get up in the high country. And up there, it's kind of peak feeding season for all the fish. And, of course, we are in Colorado. We have the highest average elevation of any state in the country. So it's a good time to get up and maybe chase either, you know, cutthroats or brook trout or maybe even grayling.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on up there, and it's, you can get away from the heat a little bit, but it's still very comfortable up there. And those fish go from the spring thaw to the fall feeding in about 2 days, I think, up there.
But yeah, for sure. That's one of the blessings of high country fish. Having said that, it's not always easy. So let's start with the easy ones and say brook trout. There's a bajillion streams in Colorado that are loaded with brook trout. This time of year, they are always willing biters, in my experience, just like you just referenced. And it could be anywhere from Michigan Creek to, you know, all, there's a bajillion of them. I mean, literally, if anyone that can hear this show has a brookie stream west of their house somewhere, most likely. And, you know, a lot of the state parks, state forest, state parks got a whole bunch of different ones that would be good for that. But the brookies are very willing biters, whether you're a fly fisherman or a spin fisherman. You know, if you want to make it easy, just go a little Johnson minnow spin, a little inline Johnson minnow spin, and get after them. You'll catch them really easy. If you're a fly fisherman, and people may know I love to fly fish. I may not be a hardcore fly guy, but the beauty of something like a brookie is if you've got a couple of hare's ears and a couple of Adams and an elk hair caddis, you could probably catch them, you know, a little Royal Coachman or something. You know, you don't need a fancy fly selection or anything like that. So they're the first ones I recommend people go after. And I also recommend that they're delicious. So if you're ever going to eat some trout, eating some brookies is a great thing all the way around, from the standpoint that they're very prolific as well. So good fish to eat, fun fish to catch.
Oh, they really are. And when we get towards fall and the males start getting the colors, they look like they're hand-painted. They're so beautiful.
Oh, for sure. You know, and it's because they're actually a member of the tar family, and the margins on their fins are real distinct, you know, white margins on their fins and the red dots. I mean, yeah, they're beautiful fish. And speaking of beautiful fish, though, and I know you guys talked about it last week a little bit, so I won't talk too much about it this week, but the Arctic grayling, you know, this is one of the few places you can catch Arctic grayling in the lower 48 is in Colorado, here in Spew, Montana, a few other places, but not, they're not real common. And it's a, it's very, very neat little fish, kind of like little sailfish. If people aren't familiar with them, they've got a great big oversized dorsal fin, and they can be trickier to catch. And the thing about them, like any of the high country fish, is they have very, very good eyesight, and they're in crystal clear water. And so they're very curious fish as well. So they'll come and they'll look at stuff, and they'll refuse a lot of things. It's pretty easy to get your feelings hurt with Arctic char or cutthroat in crystal clear water, for that matter, and still water. But they'll come look at stuff very commonly, sometimes tricky to get them to bite. You know, in my experience, light line and small flies will get you more bites from them probably than anything else, or a fly in a bubble. If you're a spin guy, that's probably the easiest way to catch them. I do like a little bit of motion on my presentation, though, because they are curious. So, you know, the bubble is actually a good attractor, you know, as far as being able to move that thing on the surface, similar to a popping cork in saltwater. They'll come and look at it, and they'll find your fly that's near it. And so that can be a really good thing. Austin and I caught them with little gliding jigs, like little tiny, tiny little jigging wraps, ice fishing size ones. You know, you can catch them with those. You can catch them with a lot of stuff. If you start throwing inline spinners, things like that around grayling, you're going to get a lot of follows in a lot of cases, but not bites, because they'll follow it to you. So they can be a little bit pickier to get to eat, but they're always interactive fish. So that's really neat. And for that, Pearl Lake and Joe Wright are probably the two easiest places to locate them around here.
Oh, it really is. And, you know, people don't realize that those fish have just really gotten back into the lake. Joe Wright doesn't even, the ice doesn't go off till the end of June, and
yeah,
that lake,
it's got some of the latest ice in the year. And then also I'll point out that today is the first day it is legal to fish the stream. The stream is always closed from ice out all the way up until the end of July. August 1 is the first day they open the stream up, and that's because those things just finished spawning. They're up there, they run out of Joe Wright and up into the creek. And they spawn and they return back to Joe Wright. And in that regard, they protect them for that. But we were just up there, and there's a fair number of guys fishing for them. Quite a few guys actually were up there fishing for them, but we had no problem catching them at will. I think we probably caught 20, 25 of them in no time flat.
Well, and another good tip for the grayling is they have very small mouths. So if you're going to use a fly, you know, don't use a giant fly. I've had really good luck with a little caddis and a little green caddis nymph suspended underneath. Did you use nymphs, or did you use dry flies, or both?
No, we strictly spinfished for them on this trip.
Okay.
And so we caught them only with just little tiny, those ice fishing size jigging wraps, smaller than they even make in most of the gliding jigs out there. Like a Johnny Dollar doesn't even come that small. Little tiny jigging wrap, and throwing that thing on real light line and making long throws and working it back through the water column, snap it up and let it go down. Snap it up and let it go down. And like I said, we caught them at will on the drop. They'll always bite that thing on the drop, and they bite it so subtly you don't feel it. And right when you go to pop it, every time there's just one on there. I mean, you don't feel a bite per se. You don't see a bite. It's the slack line, you know, and the bait's going to the bottom, and when you pick it up, they're on there. And interestingly enough, most fish are, you know, depth range specific, as you well aware. We caught them from 2 feet of water to 50 feet of water. So they're obviously getting around in the water column. There was quite a few guys fly fishing them when we were up there, and they were not catching fish. And I could tell by the way they were fly fishing, they were throwing a bait and just letting it sit. And it was just sitting on the surface. And I just don't think that the fish were having a good opportunity to locate the fly. A little bit of motion on it will help fish locate it.
Yeah, and when I fished from shore, in fact, one of the episodes of my television show that's on my YouTube channel, I do fish the grayling from the shore with a fly in a bubble, and I think you're absolutely right. The bubble makes them curious and allows you. When I fished a fly rod at Joe Wright, I almost went out in a float tube or a kayak.
That's
or something.
That's right. There's no room to cast, which is why we didn't fly fish when we were there. The lake is very full, and there's no room to cast without a boat. So if you're going to fly fish up there, plan on, you know, keep that in mind as you head up there.
And also, I think when I was up there, even if I could cast, the grayling always seemed to be rising about 10 yards beyond where I could cast the fly line.
Yeah. So they were 20 yards out. Is that what you're saying? No, just kidding.
Well, that's about right. Yeah.
But no, so they were rising. In our case, they were rising literally clear out in the middle of the lake, as well as along the banks. So we had them rise at our feet. We had them rise way out there. They were clearly feeding well, but the guys that were closest to us that we were watching fly fish were throwing a bait, you know, throwing a dry fly out, letting it sit. And I think they need a little motion on there to help them, you know, to help them get the, you know, just located, because they are so curious to fish. And just for the record, that water's crystal clear, and we were catching them on the brightest color, white and chartreuse that we could throw. And the whole point is, and I'm not trying to mimic anything, I'm just trying to pique their curiosity and make them bite it, because it's popping up and down the water column. You know, it's just taunting them into biting, basically.
We got about 2 minutes left. Did you chase any cutthroats while you were up there?
We did, but not with great success, but only because we had a very, very short period of time to do it. And this is a great time of year to do it, and it's definitely something I think, again, it's a rare opportunity. People need to tread lightly when they're up in the high country, but the cutthroat lakes should be in their prime right now. So places like Zimmerman and Agnes and the Ranger Lakes and a pile of others around the state of Colorado should be in their absolute prime right this minute. And the water's crystal clear. Almost always, those fish are also very curious, similar to grayling. They'll come and look at stuff and refuse a lot of stuff. Having said that, with cutthroats, in my experience, either if you're going to spin fish, either something extremely subtle or something extremely fast will work for them as well. If you just burn up a bunch of water retrieving baits at full speed, you can typically get them to turn and chase it down. I strongly prefer a fly rod with cutthroats, because they're much easier to catch, in my experience, on fly rods, as long as the wind's not blowing. And that's a really key. Again, it's going to be a variety of bugs, typically small, very small in some cases. And terrestrials would be the first thing I would try while I was up there right now, just because it's the biggest bug I can get away with.
All right. Pat, if people want to get a hold of you, Chad, where would they find more information about you?
Fishful Thinker. At all the different social media, our YouTube channel, Instagram, or Facebook, or at our website, fishfulthinker.com. We're basically booked out for most of the guiding right now until late into the fall. So if people are thinking they want to go soon, unfortunately, we'll probably need to call Austin Parr or something. But for fall, we still have some dates.
All right, my friend, we will talk to you again very soon.
All right. Thanks very much, Terry. Have a great day.
You bet. That's Chad LaChance. He fills in here occasionally, and he also a great angler, and his television show, Fishful Thinker, is on the Altitude Channel. And, you know, speaking of thinkers, somebody who I'm sure is going to put a lot of thought into this upcoming Broncos season is Dan Jacobs. Is that right, Dan?
Absolutely. We got a very Broncos-heavy show this week. Terry, I want your opinion. People are starting already to give Vic Fangio a pass. The season hasn't even started yet. Elway's tampering down expectations. Brandon Stokley and his crew, they're giving out passes like cotton candy. What say you, Terry? Should they just give him a pass because of the pandemic and he's the great Vic Fangio? What do you say?
No, I don't think he should get a pass at all. He hasn't impressed me yet. And I'll tell you what, his great defense, he didn't adapt to the players he had last year that well. Now, here's an example. Vic comes on right now, and he talks about that Vaughn has added a bunch of weight, and he's going to be a much more dedicated and hard-hitting player, and he expects great things. Last time Vaughn added weight, he slowed down a little bit, lost some quickness, but mostly he lost his flexibility. He wasn't able to make that bend to get around the defensive end. And it actually cost him sacks that year when he added the weight. I think the biggest reason Vaughn's not getting sacks is he gets double teamed and there's no pressure up the middle. And I think if he has more sacks this year, I don't think it's going to be because he added weight. But yet Vic keeps talking about that over and over.
Yeah, and he didn't hesitate to put in another kind of backhanded compliment to Vaughn this week too. Did you hear that?
No, that he hasn't been as dedicated in the past years as he is this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't think you take your star player who's working hard to come back and make comments like that. I don't think negative motivation is really that good. Unless you're our left tackle.
Well, Terry, I know for years and years you have been resting on your laurels, but this year you've really become a great fisherman again, so hats off to you.
Yeah. But lots coming up, lots to talk about. You know, and the biggest thing, we're starting to see these COVID stuff creeping into baseball. I don't know what's going to happen with football. You know, are we overly optimistic, Dan?
Well, I don't think college football is going to finish their season if they even get a start. The NFL is going to do everything, absolutely everything in their power to get a – they're calling it a complete season. So I think they have – they're not sharing it with the public, but they have some scenarios where they can, you know, not – they can shorten the season and still call it complete and then have playoffs.
All right.
Real
well,
quick,
we'll
Terry.
My
answer for the trivia question, 22. Did I get it right?
Yeah, but you know that because you follow me on Facebook.
That's right, I do. Every week.
All right. Thank you. And every week we do this show from 9 to 11. We're going to let the Eagles take us to the top of the hour in sports with Dan Jacobs on 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.